Hey there. Welcome to Live 47. We have a special guest today, Hannah Seymour, and we're talking about the lie that the Bible is outdated and irrelevant.
You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live.
See, Hannah is an author, she's a speaker, and a podcaster. She has a book called The College Girl Survival Guide, and her podcast is called No Matter What with Hannah Seymour. I actually love, she also shared that her father was a theologian, so she grew up in a home where the Bible was always kind of her foundation from the beginning. So she aims to really help other women have biblical foundation in order to be the person God created them to be. That's her overarching main thing that she wants women to get, is that to be the person God created you to be. In this episode, she has so many nuggets, some truths. She actually walks you through three things of being able to help you maybe process some other lies within this lie that you might be believing about the Bible. She gives you tips on where to start when it comes to reading and time management and how it feels overwhelming, all the things that talk about just the maybe the weariness that you felt about reading the Bible or it being outdated, and how does this apply to us today. So let's go ahead and get to the interview. Hannah, I'm so glad that you're here with us today to talk about this lie that the Bible is irrelevant, especially to today. I know maybe many non-believers would probably think this, but maybe even some believers begin to question, well, how does this apply to me today? And how do I actually live this out? So I'm excited for you to even just dive deeper into this topic.
Oh man, I am so excited. This is a conversation that gets me pumped. So hopefully I don't like jump on my soapbox and start, you know, yelling.
Hey, we're okay with soapboxes here. I think the listeners know I love to just challenge the way they think to change the way they live. So why don't you go ahead and tell us why this lie is important to you? And I also want to hear why you think people say this or believe this.
Yeah. So first, I wish I had looked up the research before getting on. But I mean, if you Google Barna Group statistics and just look at the statistics, they every single year they're polling believers who say, I'm a Christ follower, I go to church on a regular basis. And it is staggering how small the percentages of those people who say, I actually read my Bible, can like not even daily, just more than once a year, and that I believe that the Bible matters today in my life. And then in my own experience, I've grown up in the church. My dad is a pastor. He's a theologian. So I feel like I grew up in a home where I was really grounded in scripture. I really understood why it mattered that every man, woman, and child is able to open the Bible, read it, apply it to their lives, and it really matters. But as I have grown up, whether it was, I mean, in high school and beyond, I mean, I'm in my mid-30s now, I've always had peers that are looking at me going, Hannah, you're so different. Like, I grew up at the same church that you did. I grew up in a Christian home just like you did. And I almost never open up my Bible and read it on my own. And the difference that our lives can be if we are not in the Word at all, not grounded in scripture, versus the opposite of that. I mean, like, it is a night and day difference. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's why it matters to me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think people will say, wow, you, something's different about you, you know, because I'm not viewing the world through opinions of who they think I am, yeah, but I'm viewing it actually through scripture. So yeah, where do you think the disconnect begins to happen?
I think the disconnect starts with, it's hard. I think opening our Bible, one, just to like set aside time in our day, we're really busy people. And I know 2020 has really stripped us of our busyness, but in the past, we've been incredibly busy. And to think I have to either wake up early or go to bed later or find some 10, 20, 30 minutes in my day to devote to this, that one seems crazy. Two, I think that the Bible can seem daunting. It can seem hard. It can seem scary. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to open this and read it and actually understand it at all. And then I think third is a disconnect of this book was written thousands of years ago. It doesn't matter. There's so many things that are irrelevant or that have changed. And how does this big story even impact my life today? So I think those are the three big challenges. And I'll tack on a bonus. I think some of us have tried it and it's been hard, or we thought I'm going to do this for 30 days and it just didn't stick. And again, realizing there are seasons. I am a lifelong student of the Bible, and there are still seasons where it feels dry to me. Like, mm-hmm. That is life. Yeah, there are winters in our spiritual season, and that's okay.
How about we go ahead and touch on some of those disconnects that, let's go ahead and just kind of address them and speak truth to them about time, what you mentioned, overwhelming and written a long time ago. Let's just address all three of those. So the first one was, let's address time, the disconnect with time and feeling this irrelevancy to my life today.
So there's a Martin Luther quote, and I wish I had it in front of me, but I'll paraphrase. He basically says, my day is so busy. There's so much that I have to get done today. I can't not wake up and pray and be in God's word for 4 hours this morning.
Yeah.
And we hear that and we're like, Martin Luther, say what? Yeah. But this idea,
I ain't got time for that.
Yeah. This idea that I will be unable to get through today, to do what I need to do, to be who God created me to be without being in the presence of the Lord and connecting first and foremost with Him, reminding me of what His voice sounds like. If I don't do that, this day is going to be unsuccessful. And really practically, like, I do not do that myself. I do not give 4 hours. I wish I did. I mean, that would be amazing. But I do not give 4 hours a day in the morning to the Lord. I don't do it. But I think we all have to start somewhere, and it's okay to start small. If you've never opened your Bible and read it on a consistent basis, maybe you try for 5 minutes for the next 5 days and see how that feels. The truth is that I think the more you do it, if you ask the Lord to give you a desire for it, He will. And the more you're in it, the more you're going to want to do it. But again, it's okay to start small. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, see what it grows. 5 minutes in the Bible, 5 minutes in prayer.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be this 4 hour long Martin Luther.
Yeah. I think we forget though, that if the Holy Spirit is in us and the Comforter, and He tells us He's never going to leave us or forsake us, we kind of forget that He's with us wherever we go. So whether we're going to the bathroom, whether we're, laying in bed, reading a book, like, it's not just the morning or the evening.
Right.
And I think that we just often forget, like, oh, I can talk to Him when I'm in my car or in the shower or whatever. And that can be considered prayer as well. Let's go ahead. Number two, you talked about it being overwhelming. And I know for a fact that this is a lie. I don't want to even say it's a lie. I think it's a lie we believe, and that keeps us out of the Bible.
Yeah.
So how about we go ahead and address that?
Yeah. So let's talk big picture about the Bible for a second. It was penned over a span of 2,000 years. 40 different people are authors to the Bible. It was written over 3 different continents in 3 different languages, 66 books total. We talk about, like, that's massive. And while that can seem overwhelming, can we also maybe have the perspective of just, like, that's awesome. It's awesome that this book was compiled and put together. The hand of the Lord had to be over all of that. And we can, like, talk about scripture that says, like, this is the inspired word of God. The people that penned this, all 66 books, came from all walks of life. So there were doctors, there were prophets, there were people who were considered poor, people who were considered rich, kings, warriors. I mean, every kind of person was part of authoring the Bible, God used to author the Bible. And a long time ago, and really, I mean, funny to talk about Martin Luther and, like, the Catholic Church, you know, there was a time in our Christian culture and our Christian history where the Bible was not accessible to every average person, right? We had to gather. And even back in the day in the Jewish community, like, they had to come together in the temple and the word was read out loud to them. But today, men and women have literally given their lives. They've been, like, burned at the stake in order for us to have God's word in print in our language And you and I now have it like in our back pocket, right? I mean, we have it on our phones. Mm-hmm. So it's accessible today, but now we have to get over the hurdle of, well, this was written and it's only written for academics and theologians and my pastor. It's not. God's word is written for you and me. It's written for his followers. The verse, oh my gosh, what is it? Oh, it's in John. It's John 8:31. And Jesus has just been teaching to a large group of Jews. And he says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. God's word is Christ's teaching to us. And the only way that you and I can be a true follower of Christ is by knowing, some of the translations say, abide in my teachings. Like, we have to know them. We have to live in them. We have to be in them. We have to be faithful to them. And you and I all have the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Mm-hmm. He will empower Amen. You. Scripture tells us he helps us understand scripture. And so if I gave only one Bible study tip the rest of my life, it would be before you open up that book and start reading, pray and ask God's Spirit to help you understand what the scriptures say and apply it to your life.
Yeah, that's so true. I think when you lay it out, you're talking about, 2000 years ago, 40 authors, three continents, three languages. And I think, like you said, it can feel so daunting. Uh-huh. And can you just include really quickly into this where you recommend people start? Because they're going to ask. They're probably going to thinking, that's great, Hannah, but where do I start when I open my Bible?
So I'll give you some real answers, but I think the best answer is start where you're interested. So if you really want to understand the book chronologically, like start there, start at the beginning. If you really just want to get to know Jesus more, start in a gospel. I mean, so there's a lot of ways, but like whatever is going to get you to actually open the Bible and read, do that. Now that said, a lot of people say that John is a great gospel to start with. I actually really love Mark as a first, I'm going to start reading the Bible. Mark is the shortest of the gospels. And even to back up a little bit more, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are the gospels. Those are the accounts of Jesus's life and ministry on this earth. Mark, I think, is only 16 chapters and it's all about action. It's all about what Jesus did. And so I like that. I like that it's short and concise and we see how he lived more than some of his teachings, which what we find in some of the other gospels. And then a resource that just came out, if y'all haven't heard of it, it's called The Bible Recap. It's a podcast, but it just became a book. It actually was launched on November 3rd, which is the day that we're recording this. So it launched today while we're recording. And it is a book that will help you go through the Bible chronologically, not canonically. Canonically is like how it's been bound, right? So Genesis to Revelation, which I mean, it is kind of Genesis to Revelation, but it's helping you go through specifically the Old Testament in the actual timeline of how God's story unfolded. So it's 365 days, but it doesn't start January 1. It just starts on day one. And so that if you're like, let's just do this. It's 15 minutes a day. Tara Lee Cobble, who's the author of it, gives you a recap, helps you understand what you just read. And her big thing is, let's find the joy. The joy is Jesus. So let's find the joy in this passage. And that is, I think, for folks that are like, I'm just ready to dive in and go, for it. I really want to understand the whole Bible. I think that is one of the best resources out there right now.
That's good. Thank you for sharing that. We'll make sure we include the links below for that as well. Let's talk about number three now, which I really think ties into today's lie about it being irrelevant, is that, well, it was written so long ago. And I think you made a really great point how nowadays we have so much access to it that we forget the sacrifice. And when you were talking, I was like, yes, because we didn't have to, sacrifice our children or our lives to be able to get the word. And so we tend to take it for granted or, it's not a big deal. So let's go ahead and talk about that. Can you address, it was written so long ago. What's the point of reading it today?
Yeah. So I think that all of us, I think it's a fair assumption. Everyone listening right now, and you and I included, Jessica, we want to use our voices. We want to be influential in our surroundings. We want to be who God created us to be no matter what. And in order to do those things, it is vital, like absolutely necessary that we're grounded in God's word and in God's community. But John 10:27 Jesus is speaking and he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I don't know if you have ever like seen any videos on YouTube of sheep and their shepherds, but it is crazy. And you can Google this. There are like dozens of videos that show the same thing over and over, where sheep will truly only recognize and obey and follow their shepherd or their farmer's voice. And these, what these videos do is they'll have like three or four strangers, like the shepherd will kind of like coach these people and tell them how to call his sheep. And then they will be standing out in the field, like calling after these sheep, and the sheep, they don't even look up from eating grass. Like their heads are buried down. They're chomping on grass and they don't even look up. Maybe one or two. And the couple that do, it's so funny. They look up at the person yelling at them and then they'll look to their left or right to their fellow sheep. And they'll realize, well, that brother sheep, that sister sheep, they're not doing anything. So I'm going to go back down to looking at the grass and eating the grass. And then when the shepherd calls, it is crazy. These sheep, their heads pop up. And again, some are faster than others, but within, I mean, maybe 10 seconds, and that might be too long of an estimate, every sheep is locked eyes on that shepherd and they are running after him. Mm-hmm. And what an incredible visual, because here's the deal. You and I have so many voices speaking into our lives. Like from the moment we get out of bed to the moment we go to sleep, we are bombarded with messages all day long about who we are, who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do with our life, what we should be scared of, what we should be worried about, like, and who God is, right? Like our world is constantly trying to teach us theology. And that is the same thing as all of those strangers calling after those sheep. The problem is that when we don't know our shepherd's voice, when we don't know the voice of God, we are so apt to listening to the voices of the world and following the voices of the world. So all of that long-winded thing to say, God's word, I mean, going back to 2000 years, 40 authors, three continents, three languages, all that, God put a lot of effort to like humanize him. I mean, he's not human, but if we like humanize him, he put a lot of effort in getting these words written down, maintained, kept for generations and generations and generations to be accessible to us today. And he is telling us, this is my living word. This is life. The psalmists over and over say things like, I delight in your law. Your law is sweeter than honey. All like God's word should be the delight of our lives. And it is, because it gives us freedom, peace, hope, joy, love, all these things that we are desperate for, that the world is telling us a thousand different ways of how we're supposed to be getting that. God's word tells us the only true way to get that. And so we have to know his voice. And the way we know his voice is by studying the scripture that he's given us.
That's a beautiful example. And I'm actually going to encourage the listeners to go watch a video, because if you're a visual person like I am, it really makes, I think, the scripture come to life even more when we think about that, you know, that visual of the sheep and his shepherd. And it's just beautiful. So thank you for sharing that with me. What areas do you think that people, when they think about the Bible, is irrelevant? We kind of go back to the beginning. Why do you think people believe this though? Like maybe the disconnect between, I think, when people think about the Bible and think about God and all those things is, well, I just can't see him. I can't feel him. So he must not be there. He must not care, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think one thing I was taught a long time ago is feelings are great in our spiritual journey. But if you're thinking about a train and the front, you know, engine, and then all the cars, I have a 3-year-old. And so we have lots of books about what all of those cars are called. And the last one is the caboose, right? We all know that one. The last car on the train is a caboose. In the spiritual journey, your feelings are kind of the caboose. It's not vital to the train moving. It's part of it. God gave us feelings. And I for sure think that the Lord allows us to feel his presence at different times and in different ways. But I don't think it's always vital to our spiritual journey. And if you are someone that's wired to feel first, then I think that can the feeling can become an idol when the Lord is saying, I want you to know me. And the way we know the Lord is through his word, through the Bible, through his community, through other image. I mean, every man, woman, and child is an image bearer of God. And when we are saved and sanctified, we are a different expression of him, every single one of us. And so we get to know the Lord better by knowing other believers. And then third, God's spirit. And I mean, that spirit goes back to helps us understand scripture, convicts us we're in sin, helps us repent. I mean, ultimately the spirit is who calls you to faith, who calls you to salvation. So, you know, and I think going back further maybe is, I think we struggle with the lie that the Bible is irrelevant, because when we're reading in the Old Testament, it's really hard to see how that connects to our lives today. And I mean, a friend just the other day said to me, Hannah, it just feels like it's a completely different God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And she listed out all these attributes that she sees of the Old Testament. And then she listed out all these attributes of God that she sees in the New Testament. And they seemed literally like two different gods to her. And I think there are some hard passages in scripture. I mean, there are passages of scripture I still don't fully understand. I wrestle with all the time. And part of our spiritual journey, part of our faith walk is saying, okay, Lord, I believe you and I trust you. I believe that this is your word. I believe that it matters. And I'm willing to spend the rest of my life wrestling with it, because it's the way to intimacy and fellowship with you. I'm never going to understand it all. There is no pastor or theologian on the planet that has ever lived or will live that knows it all. That's not our God. Our God is way too big for one human, for thousands of humans, whatever, to fully know exactly what the Bible means. And I think sometimes that's a turnoff for people. Like, no, I don't want to spend my life studying this if I can't understand it all. Mm-hmm. But I think my question to you would be, then what kind of God is that? Like, if we can totally understand our God, his story, his plans, his sovereign will, then that God is us. Like, we have then made God in our own image. And I do not want to serve myself as God. I am grateful that the Lord is so much bigger and wiser and powerful than I can even wrap my head around.
I love that you shared from your friend, because it's actually going to be the question that we end with. And I know it's a little bit heavier of a question, but I actually, you know, when she was talking about two different gods and the Old Testament, New Testament, and I think another question that many people say or come about as far as the Bible and God is, well, if God is a loving God, then how could he do X, Y, Z? Mm-hmm. Do you mm-hmm. want to answer that question to kind of wrap up and maybe bring some comfort to people that feel weary with this?
Yeah. So I think all of us have struggled with this, and it's, if God really was a loving God, he wouldn't allow X. Or if God really loved me, he wouldn't have allowed X. And I think, again, this goes back to what I was saying just a minute ago. When we say that, what we're doing is we're making God in our own image, and we are deciding who he should be and what he should be doing. And we have to remember, our understanding, our perspective is crazy limited compared to his, right? Like, our life, the psalmists say this over and over, our life is a vapor. I mean, it is just a blip on the timeline of eternity, for sure. But even just like how long humans have lived on this earth today, our life is a blip, even in just that short timeline. But the Lord is all knowing. He uses all things. Scripture promises in Romans 8:28 that the Lord works all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. This is one of my favorite things to like hang my hat on. There's another psalm that says something similar, which is, the Lord withholds no good things from those who walk uprightly. God is always good, all the time. He withholds no good thing from his children, which means that on what day is today? Today's a Tuesday. It means that it is cosmically impossible for God to be less good to us today on this Tuesday, which, again, when we're recording, happens to be election day in the States. He is no less good to us today than he was on the day when Christ sacrificed his life on the cross. He is always 100% perfectly, supernaturally good to us. Now, that can be hard to swallow, because sometimes we are in seasons of darkness and hardship and grief and loss and disappointment and all these things that are really dark. And it's hard to go, this is good for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, we're asking, how can this be good to me? And that's the thing. We're letting our circumstances preach to us. And we're looking back at the Lord and saying, are you good? I don't know if you're good because my circumstances aren't telling me that you're good right now. But God's word promises us that he is always good. He withholds no good thing. So if you're waiting for something, if you're praying for something that you, that is good, like there are a lot of things that you and I want in this life that are inherently good. If God hasn't given it to us today, it means it's not good for us today. Maybe it'll be good for us later, but it's not good today. It may never be good for us, but he is always loving, always kind, always good, even when we don't understand it. And I think that again goes back to like how vital it is, because if we don't know God's word, if we don't know what God says about himself, then we're going to place our truth, our theology, all of that in what we're experiencing. And sometimes our experience totally aligns with what God says about himself. Sometimes it doesn't. And so we have to know God's word. We have to know what he says about himself. Otherwise, we are going to get swallowed up and believe so many lies because of what our current circumstances tell us.
I love that. Was a good wrap up. I love that you said we can't allow our circumstances to preach to us. That was a word. That's like, tweet that, you know? So Hannah, thank you again. This was just so, you have so much wisdom and knowledge to share about this. And I'm so appreciative that you're here with us. Where do you want people to go to really learn from you and what you have to offer?
Oh man. Yeah. So my website is hannahseymour.com. Hannah is not a palindrome. It is H-A-N-N-A. There's no H at the end. I'm one of those. Or follow me on Instagram, and it's Hannah E for my maiden name, Easley Seymour. There's another Hannah Seymour out there. It's not a palindrome, and she gets all my stuff. So sorry, sorry about that. But Hannah E. Seymour. And yeah, I've got 25-day Bible studies. My goal on Instagram, honestly, is to preach truth. It's the truth that I'm preaching to myself every morning that I'll then share publicly. Yeah. And also to make you laugh. I'm a mom of two little boys, and so my life is just kind of crazy and exhausting and funny. So
no, I love that. We'll have the your links below. So make sure you guys go check out Hannah, just full of wisdom and joy. Thank you so much again.
Oh, so such a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Jessica.
Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.